Hello, this is Greg LaFalle at Intersection Live. I'm visiting this morning with my friend Brian Smith. Brian is the president of Intercept ETF, an interesting company up in Fargo, North Dakota. I would normally make fun of that, except I'm in South Dakota, so our weather isn't a whole lot better. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for joining me. Brian and I have worked together on various things for many, many years, and I've watched him build this interesting company, Intercept ETF. Tell me first of all, I know the ETF, electronic funds transfer. Where does Intercept come from? Did you just make that up?
Well, yeah, we kind of looked at that years ago as we were intercepting transactions prior to clearing them with the Federal Reserve. So we looked at it as a big funnel, and we thought the Intercept name would fit appropriately what we do, because we interact with the accounting firms, many other businesses to intercept their transactions and then clear them at the Federal Reserve level.
Sure. So your initial business model was to recognize that accountants were having problems trying to deal with a whole bunch of different banks for their clients in offering direct deposit payroll, right? And you kind of fashioned a business to go in and solve that problem. Is that kind of how you came to be?
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
In the early days, and this kind of dates me, I guess, a little bit. But you had a lot of modem connections. You had a lot of different connectivity. You had mainframes, personal computers. And what we were able to do was consolidate to a single platform or a single payment portal
for
all of that different technology. And then as we drilled down into it more and more, we found that there was a need from the accounting firm side to have a common platform for all of their, or portal too, to have all their clients be accepted, because a lot of banks don't want to clear transactions or process transactions for people that aren't their clients.
Well, and a lot of clients don't necessarily want to change banks just to make life easier for their accounting firm to do their payroll either.
No, they don't. They like to keep the integrity of that relationship.
Right.
There's a lot of loans. There's a lot of other things that drive that relationship above and beyond the payroll and direct deposit side of that.
So here's a small accounting firm, they've got a bunch of clients, and they've decided they're going to be in the payroll business, which mm-hmm. and there's a lot of firms getting back in the payroll business, as you know. They want to offer direct deposit, obviously, but it's difficult because every bank, and most every bank will do it, but they all have a different kind of a rule, a different process, a different platform, right?
Yes, they all have different platforms, different connectivity, different security procedures, probably a lot of different procedures as they rate from bank to bank to bank and operationality flow. You have such issues as if you go out bank to bank to bank, you got to negotiate contracts with each bank, which is different. You have to negotiate pricing, and you hope that you can get the best pricing, but you never bring leverage to the table. You never bring enough transactions in one fell swoop to optimize pricing. So when you come to an Intercept concept, the Intercept allows you to have one standard contract, allows you to have one set of procedures for return processing, for item presentment. You have one contact point should you have an issue or a problem, and that happens from time to time.
Sure.
And most importantly, you get one standard pricing schedule that takes into account your whole volume and your whole base.
Well,
you can leverage that too for profitability standpoint.
As I look at it, Brian, one of the big problems for accounting firms, especially in the payroll business, is standardization of process. And the beauty that I see within Intercept is that you are agnostic regarding the client's bank, first of all, right? You don't care where the client happens to bank.
Nope. One of the nice things about what we've done, and that's one of the common things we hear, is we don't want to leave our bank. And we don't want them to either. We don't expect that. And our model allows them to keep the integrity and really benefit from that relationship for their lending and their day-to-day operations.
So and you are also, You're also agnostic, Brian, regarding the software that the accounting firm may be using to prepare payrolls.
Correct.
Now you're very deeply integrated in some payroll packages and in others not quite as, but frankly, it doesn't matter what product you use. So regardless of your client's bank or the product that you use, I can still, as an accounting firm, plug in and standardize the whole EFT thing, the whole direct deposit thing with you.
Correct. And one of the nice things we do is, you're right, we integrate to a lot of packages. We have all of our own developers on staff. We write all of our own code. One of the things that we think we do well is integration. And if you come to us and you may have a package we haven't seen yet, or you may have something you've done in-house, we're able to react to that and maybe quite easily write an interface for you based on specifications. We have a standard API interface if you have your own programmers, if you're that large. So there's a lot of things we do because we view that whole process as a turnkey solution.
Sure.
So you can come on board without a lot of effort on your part to be in the direct deposit business and start generating that revenue.
Employees expect it. Now you can provide it. Intercept EFT's direct deposit services will save time and cut expenses. Use Intercept EFT's seamless process to distribute payroll and other employee payments. Accomplish more and stress less. Visit InterceptEFT.com now.
So a couple parts. The easy part is the employees. You're gonna deposit their check in their checking account. You know, their net pay in their checking account. And then from there it starts to get a little complicated because you've got some employees that say, well, I want to deposit part in my checking and part in my savings, and you do things like that, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
We do a few other neat things. We kind of watch out for our clients because when we present items, we want them to be the best items that they possibly can.
Tell me what that means.
What we want to do is present a clean item, which when we present a clean item, ensures that they're getting the most accurate processing possible. As an example, every day we pull back from the Federal Reserve the list of accurate routing numbers. So if you have a routing number that's not accurate, our system stop and tell you and say, you know what, this routing number you presented, you may think it's a good routing number, but we're not going to be able to clear it because it's not a valid Fed number.
So,
accelerated.
If somebody has typed in a bad bank RTN, they call it the routing transaction number, right? Is that the RTN? I always see that acronym.
Yes.
Okay, so if somebody typed in a bad one, you're going to jump up and tell them that before it goes out into the Fed clearing thing, and before they have a problem with a returned item, before it comes bouncing back, you're going to tell them about it before that, so it's all clean when it goes through.
Correct. And what's really nice about that, in the direct deposit business, payroll, nobody likes not to get paid. And what we're able to do is prior to the payroll, actually the posting date, we're able to tell them in many cases that, you're going to have an issue here and we've got to address it. So when that payday comes, we've taken care of that employee and we're being proactive in the position versus reactive. The other thing we do on the accelerated side is we get a lot of notifications on a daily basis of bank mergers, bank acquisitions, changes, things that we call notification of changes in our world.
Sure.
And we have a process that says when we go out, we scan that file, and if we have a notification of change on a routing number because a bank got merged or a bank was acquired, we're automatically going to correct that information for you so that we don't have any delay in posting because of a bank merger or acquisition.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say several years ago, you also began offering a product called pay cards, right?
Yes.
That's pretty exciting. I mean, you got a bunch of, one of the direct deposit is beautiful when you have 100%. But when you don't have 100%, you still have to cut one paycheck. Frankly, if you got to cut one, you may as well cut a whole bunch of them, right? So
right.
I know that many firms were stuck because one employee would come along and say, I don't have a bank account. I just want a check. Mm-hmm. I get my check. I go down to the grocery store and cash it, and I don't have a bank. And you came up with a solution. Tell me what that is.
We have a pay card. It's like a credit card, like a debit card. And what happens is we can have instant issues. So if you have that employee walk in your office and says, I don't have a bank account, I don't want that. There's a lot of other reasons why people would like a pay card, but that's the most predominant one. They can issue that pay card, have the employee sign up for it, and get that 100% enrollment. And then we electronically, like we would to a checking account, load money onto that card.
Right.
So the novelty of that, and you're right on the money, is all of a sudden as cheatment goes away, all of a sudden your reconcilement became, instead of 100 items reconciling to, you're reconciling to one. You're reconciling to that amount of your payroll.
Right.
What's nice about it, too, is we're able to now, once you get the pay card, and they can apply online and move it to a Visa branded or a Visa logoed card and move it from a PIN-based card to a signature-based card, which is kind of nice because then it works a little better at the gas stations.
Sure.
Sometimes the pay card, one of the drawbacks to it when it was PIN-based, it wouldn't always work at the gas stations. Here, when you go Visa, you go signature, you go swipe, they can always use it at the gas stations.
Okay.
And there's a few other things, restaurants, et cetera.
Another way that I've watched is that as you build this business, you've looked at it and said, how can I make life easier for the accountants? And one of the things that you did is you call third-party payments. So if I'm doing a payroll and I've deducted money for for health insurance or 401k or things like that, I can actually pay those liabilities at the same time that I pay my payroll, and they all go electronically also, if I choose.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, how does that work?
It's time to go paperless. Intercept EFT provides electronic payment solutions for billing and tax impound, net pay, tax payments, and other transactions. Advanced online reports give you easy reconciliation, accomplish more, and stress less. Visit InterceptEFT.com now.
Well, what happens within your accounting software or whatever software you use, it'll create transactions that will debit the company, in short, a net amount of all of those transactions, and credit either the 401k program, and there will be an addenda, as it's called, or an identifier so they know which employee it is. And then those just move right through the Federal Reserve System, just like a direct deposit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So
we have a few other products that fall. You have the health insurance, you have your 401k, but some of that also is in the tax money, the 1099. I think it's 1041. Some of the tax money falls into those. The most recent product we added on was a child care or child dependent care product.
Okay.
So they can go move their money right out of their account to those child products.
Right. Very helpful. Exciting. In the 120 in the section 125 world. So you have another whole system now, kind of moving from the traditional, I guess I would call it this brand new traditional, but you also have this thing called back office conversion. I hear you guys talking about Bach. Tell me about what that is and why an accounting firm would care about this. There's all of this stuff we hear about Check 21 and the money's moving faster, and I get the feeling there's a lot of accountants that don't really know what that means. So walk me through the Check 21 and the Bach thing, and talk to me like I'm an accountant and I don't know anything, okay?
Okay. Kind of give you a little background on how we got into that part of the business. What we're hearing accounting firms and specifically their clients is looking for receivables management. And clients really look at two things. One is, how do I get my deposit into that bank as quick as I can? But two is, how do I know these items are good or not? Everybody's probably read about and their banks are touting a product called Remote Deposit, which is Check 21. And that's a great product when it comes to you scan a check in at your business or at your accounting firm, creates an image, and it says, you know what, we're going to deposit that into your bank. So you no longer have to run to the bank. Your accuracy of deposits increases. There's a lot of benefits. The issue with the Check 21 that really is not quite up to speed yet is all of the banks are depositing that money, but when it comes to the return item or insufficient funds, when that item's non-collectible, it still takes 7 days because that hasn't been converted to an electronic process.
Ah,
so they take that electronic check you've converted, print it off, and return it to you paper. So now you have 7 days coming back.
Wow.
That process right now on the presentment of the item costs 17 cents on some of the numbers I see, and as high as $5 for that return. Well, NACHA and the ACH system, they said, well, we can do it better because we already have a platform. So they come up with BOC, back office conversion. So it works just like Check 21. You still can't still scan your check-in. You still post it. But what the nice thing is, it's a little cheaper. We're about a dime for a back office conversion to 17 cents.
Okay.
And then you also can have an electronic return. So you know of your returns within a couple days versus the seven.
Right.
All the benefits. Got the returns 5 days faster, so then you know your true position.
Right. Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah.
Brian, let's talk a little bit about credit card processing. You guys have services that you provide in the credit card processing world, and that's a world that accounting firms, I mean, retailers and people kind of know about, but accounting firms are a little iffy about this. They're not, you know, they're not really into it very much. Tell me about credit card processing. What do I need to know?
Well, what we've structured and in the process of expanding on is a credit card program that goes out there and allows a CPA firm, an accounting firm, a payable processing firm, many, many venues to go out and resell our credit card services. And you really don't need to know a lot from the detail of credit card.
So they can, an accounting firm can offer your product to their clients and kind of become because they're money experts and financial experts, they can say to their client, here's an answer to your credit card stuff. Let us kind of handle it. We're already handling your payroll and your accounting. We'll just do your credit cards too.
Yeah. And what we've really done in that, Greg, is we say that credit card processing world, that's a really detailed, a really messy world from a standpoint of bidding it. And we just say, you know, if you can get your last client's business statement, we'll bid it out. And we say, if we're competitive, and if we're better, and I've never been in a situation where we're not a little cheaper, a little more cost effective than that, then they can bring that business to us and just by a referral basis generate revenue.
Sure.
What's nice is even after they leave the payroll side, if that's what you're doing, or they leave the accounting, they move on, as long as they remain a client in the credit card world, because we'll do a great job pricing and service-wise, they still will generate revenue.
Right. So
I think most accounting firms, Greg, I think are scared off because of the complexity of the credit card world.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, Brian. The there's so many things on. I mean, they got fees for this and that, transaction rates and discount rates and collection and all of this stuff. Help me understand if a client comes in, they're sitting across the desk from me, and you know, and I say, just you know. Tell me, you know, who you're doing your credit cards with, and he says, "Well, there's a lot of cowboys out there selling credit card processing, and I mean, I think a lot of these small businesses take whatever you know, whoever was the best salesman, and that's who they've got in there, and they would never trust all of their money to this guy who walks in selling credit card processing, but somehow they don't think about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of money there, there's a lot of trust, there's a lot of involvement, and they just kind of do it because it was a little cheaper. So what kind of advice do I give to my client, you know, and saying, you need to know more about that, you know, here are some things that you can talk to your client about. Help me with that.
Well, you know, a few of the things in where businesses really look at you, right? They come in, they have a good salesman, they think it's a great deal. But we've been in situations where if you just look at it, there's an exchange rate, a percentage of every transaction. We see a lot of clients are coming in, they're paying 6% in some cases.
Wow.
And you take that down to a 3% or as low as for debit card, 1.14%. As an accountant, you're letting them, by having credit card charges of 6% versus 3%, there's a lot of money being left on the table. And if you can reduce that for your clients, you've done them quite a great service, and they become more profitable and better company.
Uh-huh.
And all you got to do is when you're sitting across from them, and I believe 9 out of 10 times I have the credit card conversations with people who take it. And I just had one the other week when I was on the road. I said, what do you think about your credit card? And they take a deep breath, and if they're really honest, they say, I just don't understand it, Brian. I just don't get it. Or they go, my gosh, this costs me a ton of money. In either scenario at that point, and those are the common responses, they should just have a review just to make sure that they're in the best position they can be. We have wonderful products, you know, that we take them out of the, can help them out with is the swipe machines. We have online Windows portals for them through the internet. A lot of neat things we can do in that area. But it's one area where on the receivable side, there's a lot of money being left on the table.
Sure, sure. So one of the big areas, and I don't know if a lot of this or part of it comes out of the Patriot Act, and the banks get a lot tighter with knowing your customer and all that. Mm-hmm. It all kind of ties in with risk management. And everybody says you're supposed to know your customer and all that, and you can help accounting firms help their clients in. Mm-hmm. In that whole world, too, in that whole risk management. I know risk management is a lot bigger than what I just described, but talk to me a little bit about risk management.
Well, risk management from the Intercept side of the equation. One of the things that we do here, and we think we do it really well, we're one of the few even banks that have a true risk management profiling, a propensity to pay business. So when we see a client and they come to us, one of the things they need to rest assured on is that the workings of what we do to assure that they're a good client, we do for all our clients. So everybody coming to us from all accounting, all of the other business platforms that we have, come and go through a risk management and an assessment. From there, we get what we call agreed upon terms. And we have a product called IAM, Intercept Account Manager, which manages the agreed-upon terms with our client so that we take everybody as best we can and mitigate the risk as best we can.
Sure.
As an example, we go into detail with accounting firms, and they know a lot of things about a client. But they may say, you know, I have a client here that's, I'd like to put them on direct deposit, but they're a little iffy. Well, a little iffy. Let's talk about that. We may pre-fund and say, you know what, if they're a little iffy, let's pre-fund that transaction by 2 or 3 days to ensure that we have good funds before they pay the employees.
Right.
The dialogue may go and say, well, you know what, they can't do that because they have a lot of hourly people. Fine, we understand that. Why don't we put them on a wire system? And we manage that risk management to take and mitigate that liability that the accounting firms have. And not a lot of people do that by client. A lot of people say, bring it on. Bad or good or indifferent.
Right.
And then what happens in a lot of environments, especially we've seen it in banks, is they say and they have 10 people going across it, and all of a sudden one of those clients, because they didn't do the due diligence up front, it had a problem, had a bad payroll experience, went to NSF, couldn't collect the money, and all of a sudden maybe the accounting firm had to pay, or maybe the bank had to pay in some cases. Then there's a big dramatic shift in the management of the bank. They say, you know what, we're here to do loans, we're here to do deposits, we're not a risk manager for direct deposit.
Right.
So all of a sudden they go to all their clients and say, unless that client banks with me, or maybe they don't even give you that option, you have to find some other place to shop.
Sure.
One of our biggest things is a lot of people come to us because their bank has asked them to leave. Not because they did anything wrong. They're great clients and we'd love to have them. What happened was somebody else's mismanaged the process, and the bank didn't do their due diligence and risk management.
Right.
That is one of the biggest changes we're seeing in our industry, is that risk management and that regulation as we go down that path.
Well, and, it kind of sounds to me, Brian, and I've watched this industry for many, many years, and frankly, there are as many ways to do direct deposits as there are ways to get a hamburger driving down the main drag of any town in America. There's a ton of them. And if everything works perfectly the way it's supposed to, they're all the same. Is that right? It's only in the service, in the problem solution or the problem avoidance and the experience and the background and the depth where a company like Intercept kind of rises to the top because of your experience and depth. That's really what we're talking about, isn't it?
Exactly. And the other thing we like to think we do is we're becoming innovative. We're on the front end of BOC. We stay on top of the rules and regulations and the changes. And we make sure all of our clients go through the same rigorous standards to become our partner in direct deposit.
So tell me a little bit about you're being a little modest here about Intercept, because Intercept is a real leader in this world. You know, the APA and the NACHA and the ACH world. Tell me some of the stuff that you and the other execs at Intercept do as leaders in this industry, because you don't just sit around waiting for me to call you up and say, talk to me. I know you've got other things that you do.
We do. We have a lot of things. We just had some people over at NACHA going for the AAP, ACH Accredited Professional. We strive for people in the industry be certified, keep up on the rules. So they were out in Chicago at the National Association conference to get their certifications, to get the qualifying credits, etc. So we have a group that does that. We're now joining the Czech Council. We are on various committees for rules. We have some people that are going through as we expand and we move into our electronic treasury management philosophies. We have people who are going right now for their certified treasury manager role. Craig and I are very active in the various associations, whether it be the ACH Association, the Electronic Transaction Association, many other groups, IPPA, APPA, being involved in them in the sense that we're out there with the focus groups. I would say, you look at our organization, we have a lot of pilot projects going on. I heard somebody say a comment the other day, we have more things going on this year than NASA. And it just speaks to, we have a lot of initiatives that we're trying to roll out there. We have a lot of focus groups. We're visiting with a lot of people this year and saying, what do you folks see? What do you see as an accounting firm? Not only that, but what do you see for your clients? Because really the mining in the future, I think, for the accounting firm is to be not only a provider for the accounting firm and make that the best business there is, but we're working hard to get to that next step, firm's clients. To really be that tie-in.
Sure. What about products, things directly for accounting firms down the road? I mean, most accounting firms that get into payroll direct deposit, they eat their own dog food, so they start with their own staff. But beyond that, I mean, an accounting firm has got a whole bunch of clients, and they send bills to all those clients. Are you someday going to help them figure out a way to collect that money faster?
Actually, we had an accounting firm come to us, and here's a true story. They said, we went through the direct deposit phase, and I flew out east to meet with them. Very nice group. And we were talking. I said, what other things you got going on? And they said, our bills. Really? They had a 35% delinquent rate. In other words, they were saying 35% of their bills are aged over 30 days.
So, well, I'm going to tell you that is not at all unusual for a professional services firm.
So what we told them to do and what we helped them do was to put in direct debit, the collection of their bills. Just visiting with them, that was maybe 2 years ago we implemented that program. Okay. Now they're less than 2%. The process was twofold. One is they brought new clients on. They offered them a pay option of direct debit. That's how you pay my accounting firm. We'll send you a bill. 7 days later, we're just going to debit your account. And then they started a process of going back and saying, we're now going to go and change our contract with you because it's time for renewal. And as part of the renewal, boom. The other thing that we've gone back to them now is we put in credit card. And so now that when they look at everything, they have credit card, and now they have ACH. And most recently, now they're putting in BOC this year. So they'll have that back office conversion, because some people still will pay them a fee to write them a check. But now we got to work on how do we best convert that item. And that's that 2% that we're talking about.
Sure.
That kind of want to pay late in that. So we see that on the horizon. We see a lot of automation from taking that concept and they see the huge benefit to their clients.
Right.
Just moving it one step down to that, that line. And then they can become that processor, that ISO, that revenue generator there too, because we allow them to share in the income of that product.
Sure. And my guess is that as you would do that, you save, you know, here's an accounting firm, and they've got several, you know, small accounting firm, got a couple of hundred small business clients. And you start talking to those small business clients and you say, I want to change our contract. I want to do this debit system for my bill button to use. So I'm going to send you an invoice. And, you know, and like, as you said, 7 or 10 days later, I'm just going to debit your account and take the money. You know, that's going to be our deal going forward. And the small business says, okay, fine. Or, you know, we have this conversation. And then all of a sudden, the next question the small business client has is, wow, if my accounting firm is doing that, maybe that's something that I should be doing. Tell me about how that works, Mr. Accountant, because you're my financial advisor, and now you have a conversation with them about how they can use that same system. And my guess is there's a way for me as an accountant then to recognize some revenue from the transactions that my clients might bring ultimately with their customers.
Correct. And what's really nice about our programs is you recognize the ACH debit, you can recognize the check conversion, and you can recognize the credit card. So when you're sitting across from the client, you have all of these options for them on the receivables management.
Sure.
We just attended a trade show, and there was two things that were overwhelmingly talked about when we talked to individual businesses, and these would be the clients of accountants. They came to us with two things. And they said, I've got a receivables problem, and a receivables problem can venture all the way from that 35% age receivables to as simple as one project we're working on where, you know what, I need reporting on a daily basis because I submit daily. We're in that venue to offer that customized reporting on a daily basis. The other thing that, and it kind of surprised me to be straight up, I wasn't quite prepared mentally for it, but the other one is we have a product that does it, vendor payments. They're saying, I not only have receivables I want to pay, or get electronically, excuse me, but I have payments I need to pay electronically.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not real interested in doing it. I don't necessarily want to do it fast. I just want to do it economically and within a system and make it work, right?
Yeah. And what they see is the value, too. They look at me, and the one was kind of humorous. I thought they say, we pay the guy that mows that lawn, Brian, every month. And I know it's $100. Why or how do I get out in your system to enter that $100 in? I want to pay him for the next 6 months. Because I don't want to write that check because I know it's going to happen.
Correct.
And we have that system. And the people out there, the businesses and the clients, they're looking for efficiencies. And they see electronic payments as an efficiency now.
Accomplish more and stress less. Intercept EFT eliminates manual entry with electronic payment services. Process transactions outside of bank hours, and move funds quickly, safely, and accurately. Accomplish more and stress less. Visit InterceptEFT.com now.
So that's an interesting new avenue. We have the products and services to it, but I think it's going to be taken off quite a bit more.
It's pretty interesting stuff. It's pretty much if money is going to move electronically, and it certainly is, Intercept is the company that can help an accounting firm figure out how to manage that money for themselves and for their clients and for their clients to their customers. So it's pretty much beginning to end, whatever that transaction is, you can help our fellow professionals do that. Is that right?
Exactly. Well, we can get into that scheme.
Where can somebody find out a little more? I know you guys are at some trade shows. Where are you going to be this summer? What kind of trade shows are you going to be doing this summer?
Oh, my. We have a lot. We do about, depending on business lines, close to 40 to 50 shows.
Okay, wow.
They can go to www.interceptdft.com.
Okay, interceptdft.com.
Yes, sir. And then on there, they have our trade shows. Naturally, they can call us at any time.
Sure.
We process. We're here to 10 o'clock at night, Central Time.
Uh-huh.
Have some wonderful hours. I think that we'd love to have them call. It's 1-800-378-3328. But we're redoing our website, and they'll really enjoy going out there and seeing some of the things. We have demos. We have all the things you'd want to know.
Okay.
A ton of products and always more coming out.
Wow, great. Well, we will include the website and the telephone number in the show notes. So if you're listening and you're trying to scamper around to write those down, you don't have to worry about it. They're right at the bottom of in the show notes, so you can see those. And I would encourage you to check that out. There are some really interesting things, and because the landscape is so big, you don't necessarily have a product menu that says this is what you can buy. You have some of those, but in a lot of cases it's tell us what your need is and we'll figure out the best combination of things to make it work for you.
I hope the next time I talk to you we'll have completed what we've done. It's kind of interesting. On the website is we're creating landing pads for the various industries.
Sure.
So if you're an accountant, you can come to a landing pad specifically designed to talk accountees,
right?
And see products and services that are in your space. I think the one now that when we talk, it'll probably be done next time, is electronic treasury management, where on one screen you'll see one portal, one view of all of your payments, receivables, direct deposit view, and you can offer that to your clients, co-branded with your company's accounting's name. But we have other business lines that we do, and we'll have these landing pads, and that's exciting to see our progression there and some of that. But the next step for us is to brand, and we do brand, but brand our products and services so it looks like the accounting firm's products and services.
I salute that. I've watched you guys over the years, and you've always kind of had this idea that your job was to make the accounting firm look smart in the eyes of their clients. And that's something I'm all in favor of. The average accounting firm needs lots of help just to keep up with this stuff. And what they don't need is a whole bunch of people intruding in their relationship. And you really supplement and augment, and you really understand who your customer is and how that works. And I salute you for doing it that way. That's a wonderful business model. Brian, I want to thank you for spending time with me today. You've really helped. You've helped me learn a lot about that whole world of ACH, direct deposit, EFT, all the different acronyms that we've got. I want to spend some more time doing some other things, and maybe someday soon we can take some of these things and actually do an educational seminar for accountants that will lay out all of these things and help them understand that they've got things that they really better understand if they're in the direct deposit world. Whether they're with you or somebody else, they may have liabilities. In fact, they do have liabilities that they may not even know about, right?
Exactly. The liabilities now come under Article 5 of the Not Your Rules, which defines liability in contracts. And liability all the way down, and puts them right in that flow with everybody else.
Well, we're going to come back some other time and talk about Article 5 and all those liabilities. But I just wanted to kind of plant that seed for our listeners that we're gonna come back and try to do some more education in this fast moving world of electronic money. Brian Smith, again, thank you. Brian is the president of Intercept ETF, and we've had a great 40-minute discussion here regarding all kinds of things in the direct deposit world. Brian, thank you so much for your time this morning. It was certainly pleasurable for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure visiting with you. You're such a leader in the industry and a trendsetter out there.
Oh, thanks very much, Brian. Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.